Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
There's the shotgun snap to Fields. He's back. Fields looking. Fields pressured. Fields hit from behind. He's going down. No, he stayed up. Fields, no, he's going down. Get him down. Get him down. Sacked. Three tries. Third time was the charm. Julian Okwara finally took him down.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It is November 14th, and that is right. That is the day after November 13th, which we'll remember as the Lions coming back against the Bears in Chicago. 31-30 victory, and just a wild victory. Lions come back down from 14 in the fourth quarter to cap off a two-game winning streak. We got a winning streak going.
What?
Oh, man.
Wait. Check that
We're
going
to get to all that in a moment, but before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other two. So we got Bob.
Hello there.
And then podcasting injured today is UJ.
Hey, Kool-Aid drinkers.
Yeah, you hear the little coarseness in your voice, UJ. But I don't know if you were, is it just from all your yelling at the TV and enjoy?
I think that's part of it. You know, I don't know how to handle this two wins in a row. It's just really weird. I honestly don't know how to handle it. I feel almost guilty, if that sounds strange or not, but. These are the games that we always lose, and two weeks in a row, we won them, the type we always lose. So there's a certain level of guilt in there that I can't shake, that this isn't us, but I'm getting used to it, though. I'm working on it. I'll get used to it. Don't worry.
Well, just one hell of a game. Obviously, as I mentioned, the Lions down 14 in the fourth quarter, come back to win 31-30, in a game where it seemed like the Bears like switch jerseys, because this is like all the things that we've seen from the Lions so much, all the penalties, a missed extra point here or there, like just everything you could do to lose a game. And the Bears seem to do it. It was nice to be on the other side of it for a change. And I mean, let me tell you, the Lions, it didn't look good for a little while in this game, obviously being down that much. The Bears averaged 7 yards per play in this game, the Lions 5.5. I mean, obviously a lot of, points, but man, I'm trying to look up the penalty stats. Oh, here it is. So the Bears had 9 penalties for 86 yards. It actually felt like more than that, honestly, because every time the Bears had a big play, whether it's on offense or defense, there was a penalty to be found later on, and the Lions only had 2 for 15. But it was great to see the Lions capitalize on another team's mistakes. That's what good teams do. And they did it.
Yeah, you know, this is the most disciplined game I've seen the Lions play under Dan Campbell, period. And the players bought in. It was rough with, Fields back there. And he broke a couple long ones, but for the most part, they held him pretty good. And I think they followed the game plan very well, kept them boxed up. And that won the game for us in the end. So very disciplined approach to this game for the defense. And the offense, too. I mean, like you said, 2 penalties. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the Lions have less false starts on the road than they do at home lately.
I know. That always bothers me at Ford Field, the way they jump off sides. I'm like, come on. We have quiet for the offense.
Right.
They still do it there. I don't get it. But,
like Jared Goff had the interception. It was a bad one. But, I mean, who was it? Trindy Benson? Did he get leveled by the defender? There was the big run.
Hands to the face.
There's the big run by David Montgomery on the outside. But then it gets called back for holding, and then we turn it into a pick six a play later. So just a couple big turning events there. That's Lions capitalizing. The key to this Bears offense is to get them in first and 20, second and 20, force them to go backwards, because it's a really good, it's historic rushing offense, this Bears offense right now. They are just, Justin Fields especially, is just running all over defenses right now. But the Lions did just enough to win, so that's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, historic rushing offense, but their passing offense isn't great. I mean, they did get that Cole Kmet pass, right, but overall, their passing game is not great right now with that personnel they have in Chicago.
Yeah, true. And Kirby Joseph, this is probably his worst game since he's been in the starting lineup. He, on that Cole Kmet one, he blew an assignment that left him just wide open. Any decent armed quarterback could have made that throw by how open Cole Kmet was on the...
Yeah, that was a total miscommunication, however that happened, because they both the backs went the wrong way. You know, nobody covered Kmet.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Well, now it's especially okay because we won. Miller. So you can swallow that a little more after a victory.
All right.
The Lions had 95 yards on the ground. Sorry, I think there's noise coming through. Amon-Ra St. Brown, he looks like himself again. That was nice to see.
Yeah, he was my guy. I was saying had to step up this week, and he did.
And so he did. He heard you, Bob. He heard you.
He did. They do listen to the pod.
But they actually game planned him in, though. They made a point of going to him, which was a key, too. I mean, it wasn't just hoping he was open. They made a conscious decision to go to him early and often. So it was a good idea.
And Tom Kennedy, he stepped up at the biggest moment of the game. Third down.
Yeah.
Wide open over the middle. That was great to see, because that's a guy you kind of always root for. A guy that, you know, comes up and down off the practice squad. Also forced the pass interference call in the end zone to create a new set of downs, which led to a touchdown as well.
He even got Tyreek Hill to tweet something about him.
I missed that. Was that?
What, he compared him to Wes Welker or something?
Oh.
I think in, yeah.
I love it.
Well, that's a guy you know, UJ's been asking for, like the white guy wide receiver that can get open on third down. And he got open on that third down, that's for sure.
Yeah, he did. Just a guy has a knack for getting open.
Oh, yeah. The Lions are hurting at wide receiver, though, so it's impressive to see these guys step up, especially in these situations. Like, even having Jimmy Benson out there, I think he had the offensive pass interference, which was pretty bad. He did not do a good the announcer was on him, too, for not doing a good acting job on a clear, like, pick play. I mean, that's, I guess, to be expected when you pick up a guy from a practice squad and then from one of the worst passing offenses in the NFL, mind you, in Denver, and then throw him into your starting lineup right away. But that's where Lions are at wide receiver now with all the injuries. Who knows if we're going to get Shark back. Josh Reynolds has back issues. It's like three or four other guys on the team with the back issues. But we still scored 31 points, albeit seven of those come from the defense, which is a nice change. And it was great to see Okuda get a pick off Justin Fields. That was really was nice to see.
Yeah, Okuda's just feeling it these days, man. He's loving it. He's playing great and really confident. It's nice to see him get that.
Hey, on that play though, Hutch really made that play. I mean, he made that play for. I mean, Okuda was in the right place at the right time and capitalized, no doubt. But Hutch's play on the tight end there, where he recognized the screen and dropped back, altered the throw.
Yeah, how about Hutch had a pretty decent game in this one. Obviously,
awesome
still
game.
Chasing around Justin Fields is tough, and he missed him a few times, but so do have a lot of other people in recent weeks. I think the most impressive play he had, actually, you know, he had the two sacks or whatever. Did he have one sack or 2 seconds?
I thought he had one.
One sack, sorry. Yeah, one sack.
One sack.
That wasn't his most impressive play. It was on the goal line, second down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's unblocked off the edge. They're basically not expecting him to get to the other side quick enough for David Montgomery to score. And he just comes down and slams him. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, yeah.
And that was that three-cone drill that I set some combine records for. That's where you see it right there. That quick, get off and get down the line. That's kind of what the three cone drill is in some regards. And that's where he saw it at its best right there. I'm excited to see that come to fruition. And obviously the sack he had at the end of the game, that was just a hustle play because he was double teamed. But, you know, just kept going at it. And then also on the hustle play too, Aquara, that fourth down end game was wacky. Oh, yeah. You're just waiting for Fields to find somebody for how long he was looking for somebody, but the Lions kept disrupting him, getting up, and finally got him on the third try.
Yeah, the defense played well in the fourth quarter, especially, and they shut him down.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, forcing him to throw. You got to force Fields to throw, because clearly they're going to take whatever they want on the ground.
How about the way, I mean, we knew going into this game that, because Fields is feeling it right now. He's, you know, he's special talent right now as far as running the ball. And first play of the game, he runs for 20 yards. I'm like, we knew it was coming, and they still couldn't stop. He's running.
Aquara was caught in La La Land on that one, which surprised me, because that should be what you expect out of the first play, a speed, a quarterback option, read option.
Yeah, I think everyone was expecting that.
And he bit inside immediately on a play. But I guess they adjusted to some degree. I mean, this is like 2 weeks in a row he's had like the similar play, a 60-plus yard touchdown run right up the middle in a scramble drill type thing. So he's impressive. I don't think it'll last, because I don't think a starting quarterback in this league could take as many hits as he takes on a regular basis. He even said after the game, like, this running stuff's I'm getting really tired in the games here. So I think it's getting him even a little bit. But
that's what the Lions, they did hit him. You know, when they got him, they did hit him. So he got a little beat up there. So that, you know, that, like you say, that's not going to last long if that's his only thing he could do. But
and it's so sweet beating the Bears. You know, I got all these texts from like Bears fans that I know, and they're like, oh, this is like perfect. We scored a lot and we lost. I'm like, I love it. Just the spin engine, you know, I'm like just spinning away, spin, then, because of course they wanted to win. I would not be hearing that if they won. So.
And a bunch of Chicago fans are just bitching about the refs, you know, like, oh, God.
Of course, yeah.
You guys got your ass kicked. Just deal with it.
Yeah, deal with it.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, I will get credit, too, to Dan Campbell on the fourth down and goal call. The touchdown to Brock Wright. Wide open. Good play call. Although I questioned the three play calls before that, but good fourth down play call. I don't know why we're just not slamming it up the middle against one of the worst short yardage rush defenses in the NFL.
I agree with that. See, I was yelling at the TV when they didn't run it on.
Yeah, it was really bizarre. Like a couple play action calls, but they didn't expect the third play action call in a row. No. and our third touchdown to a tight end since Hockenson's been gone, which is interesting. Although, Zane Zylstra, I believe, he had a key drop on a third down in the fourth quarter. Luckily, he didn't come back to bite them. That was notable slightly.
Indeed.
And it was a good enough throw from Goff. You got to catch that ball. But the Lions moved to 3-6 now. They're actually have a higher or a lower draft pick, if you will, than the Rams now. Which is a crazy turn of events. The Lions right now would have the Rams pick at 8, and the Lions have the 11th pick in the draft. If the season ended today, obviously there's a long way to go. At 3-6, the Lions still have 8 more games to go. So plenty of time. Although the playoff picture is tough, the division's completely out of reach. Minnesota won again.
Yeah, crazy. That team's just riding the luck. I mean, well, they're playing well, too, but I mean, they took some luck in that game, too, against Buffalo. Crazy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, they had everything possible go the right way, and as we were talking before this, Justin Jefferson made one of the, if not the greatest catch like NFL history, like one-handed with a guy behind him with two hands on and somehow ripped it out. I don't know how he did it. It was amazing. But,
he is so good. He's playing really well right now.
And then the Packers came back from down 14, too, in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys. So the Lions, unfortunately, don't get that second-place designation in the NFC North, like I was hoping at the end of the day. But the Bears at 3-7, Lions 3-6, Green Bay at 4-6. and Minnesota at 8-1, with the second best record in the NFL. But more on this game. We mentioned Kirby Joseph not having his best day, but I mean, he's a rookie, a third round rookie at that. So I guess we couldn't expect a perfect day. But I mean, outside of Fields, the Bears didn't get too much damage on the ground, I guess. I mean, Herbert ran. It wasn't a good day for the defense in the run game. I was trying to spin it, but Herbert averaged 5.7 yards a carry. David Montgomery 4 yards a carry. Not a great day from that regard. Anytime you give up 30 points in a game, it's not going
to
be a good day.
Yeah, we definitely don't have a top defense yet, but our defense is starting to make stops, you know, which is nice. Like late in the game, they made some stops, which are key. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to, you know, trade off scoring, that's all we need. Make a few stops.
Yep. And it, like Anzalone said in the locker room after the game, he says, oh, hey, man, a win's a win in this league, man. They're all doesn't matter how you get it.
That's very true.
And that's so true. That is so true. In this league.
Very true.
It's tough to get a win, man.
You know, guess who was the highest rated player this game for the Lions?
That's a good question.
Defensively?
Mm-hmm. Okuda?
Jared Davis.
Jared Davis.
He only played 12.
He did make a good play.
Okay.
Great on the curve.
He made one really good play, though, where he tipped the ball. And
He did. It was good to see him out there contributing positively. So, always a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for him.
But Jonah Jackson, actually, our whole offense line grayed out really well in this game. They played really well. Jared Goff wasn't under too much pressure, I thought, throughout the day.
What's with Ragnow, though? He had a walking boot at the end
of the
game.
We've seen the limited practice designation on him for the last few weeks. It's on the same foot that he hurt last year in Chicago. So I don't know if he's just playing through a lot of pain and immediately putting that walking boot on after or what. But, I mean, he played a great game. So, maybe the injury's helping him in some twisted way because he played a really good game.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But Aleem McNeil grayed out decently, so that's good. But Bugs did not. The Lions need defense tackle help. That might be addressed in the draft next year.
Well, they're trying to get the Bugs out of this defense.
Well, they're keeping the Bugs in the defense. You know. So.
But Bugs, that guy takes up space out there. He does contribute a little bit. I don't know statistically, but he's helping out out there.
Yeah.
He really bugs people.
All right. No Malcolm Rodriguez in this game. He did not play. Derek Barnes played in his place. I didn't see too much of him out there. But Anzalone seemed to be all over the place, for good and for worse. He missed a lot of tackles. But he was at least around the ball all game. So, and he hustles. Yeah. So. I don't know if he'll be around next.
That's a nice concession to Yazid.
While he's here.
That's a real nice concession. Yeah.
He does always hustle. That's the one thing Anzalone does for sure. He's always running around out there.
Yeah. Well, like on that last play, the sack, Anzalone came flying in front of Fields there and made him pull up short again, giving Okwara time to get back in that sack. So, hey.
That's what I'm saying. He puts full effort. You never blame him for his effort on the field. Like, I'm not sitting there people after the game were criticizing Eddie Jackson in the fourth quarter of this game for kind of giving up on some plays. You see a clear opportunity where he could have laid his body on the line and he didn't. But then you see a guy like Anzalone, he's doing his best out there. He's putting his full heart and effort in every play. And that's he doesn't. Isn't necessarily the most gifted linebacker per se.
How about the challenge that Fields is though? If you're a defensive back,
It's tough.
And Justin Fields is in the open field. He's like, what is he? 230 pounds. He's huge, and he's like running at 4.4 speed. Like, I'm gonna get in front of this guy and get clobbered. But it's just kind of interesting.
Yeah, I know. Like in that touchdown run where he ran over. Who's that? Elliot or
I remember. Yeah, I forgot who that was, but
ran him over. Oh boy, that was bad. I think he's had a concussion from that. They took him out of the game.
And then the safety on that 60-yard touchdown run I believe is Joseph. I would have to go back and look who it was, but I mean, last line of defense against Fields, one cut and Fields is gone. Just no chance for the safety.
Yeah.
But what do we think about Goff in this game? 19 of 26, 236, one touchdown. Yeah, obviously, nice game.
He did a good game. Yeah, nothing spectacular, but he got saved there on the penalty on the one where he almost threw a bad pick.
Yes.
But it didn't count, so it doesn't matter. I thought he played pretty well overall.
Yeah, I mean, 91-yard drive and you really need it. I mean, you might need a lot to do with it. But yeah, I think he played well.
And I mentioned like a drop by Zylstra. Amon-Ra though looked great. I mean, it's great to see him back to full health because it's such a difference maker, especially for this secondary right now that has him and then Khalif Raymond and Tom Kennedy.
We had the better St. Brown in this game. Equanimeous. I don't think he even touched the field, did he? I don't even know.
He did. He had one. He did. A couple carries, but no targets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Claypool was a non-factor for the Bears as well in this game.
He
had one run and one catch for 8 yards.
Yeah. Hopefully that trade won't work out for the Bears. But,
I said before, I don't think it will. I thought they gave up way too much for a guy that the Steelers were more than happy to be rid of. I think the Steelers were ecstatic to get a second-round draft pick for him because I don't think anybody else was willing to give up that much.
Yeah. And we had the special teams edge in this game because, they kicked a ball out of bounds and they missed an extra point.
Yeah, he almost kicked it out of bounds. Kicks. He came really close on a second one as well.
Yeah.
I will say Jack Fox had a weird punt.
Yes.
He got a good roll on it, luckily.
Yeah, he wasn't quite his sharp self, but got the job done.
He had a weird
But he also had a 59-yard punt. So, the extra points obviously huge. We were 4-for-4; they were 3-for-4. That was the difference. It's so funny when a team misses that extra point. It always seem like 99% of the time it comes back to bite you.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's usually us, man.
This is the tide turning forever in our favor. Yeah.
Well, did you guys see? I think we talked about how they did, at least offline, we talked about the Peyton Manning show where they lifted the curse of Bobby Lane. And since they did that episode, we won two games. So,
I know that. I've been meaning to watch that. I've not actually watched it.
Yeah, it's on Peyton's Place, ESPN Plus, or whatever. So it's pretty good if you guys have an opportunity to watch it.
No, I definitely want to watch it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But I love that.
It's he and Jeff Daniels together, and they lift the curse. It's pretty awesome.
Man, that's great. I do. Yeah. I forgot to add, I know we talked about Hutch already, but he had 8 solo tackles in this game from the DN position. That's pretty crazy. Or the edge position. Definitely one of his better games outside maybe the Washington one.
Yeah, he's really adapted his play style. You know, he's not just tearing up the field anymore. He drops back now. He adjusts what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little better at reading the plays, I think.
Yeah, he's proven to be an impact player, and that's what we wanted out of a number two pick. A guy who has an impact in the game, makes a big play when you need it, and he's did it a couple times.
Yeah. I listened to a little bit of Chicago sports radio today, and they were talking about Hutch, and they were like, "Oh my God, that guy is so good." That's nice to hear it about our guys.
It is. I was listening to him before the game, Bob, and they were just talking about the Lions cellar dwellers and all this stuff, just bad mouthing us the whole thing. It was great.
Yeah, the Bears they think they're better than they are. You know, like Bears fans,
because I saw Chicago 5 late night show, and it was like the news, and they were like they had their Sports Sunday or whatever, and a clip from that, where he said the Lions are usually a team that you schedule like in high school that against as your homecoming team, like the team you just want to annihilate because everybody's showing up for the game that day.
Yeah,
so he was really low on the Lions.
We play well against the Bears all the time, unless Trubisky's playing against us.
Or Patricia's your head coach.
Well, that's true. And
Trubisky's gone, so now they can't beat us.
Right? Yeah. But I believe that's two of the last three the Lions have won in Soldier Field. So, because nice. There was also like a late comeback where I believe Darren Bevel was the interim head coach where the Lions had a late comeback in that one too, where Romy Aquara forced a late fumble and the Lions scored.
Nice.
I believe that was 2 years ago. So,
I know we're gonna. What is Patricia or not Patricia getting the wrong coach here? Campbell said you got to start stacking these wins. You know,
that's right.
I mean, the next game looks winnable. I mean,
absolutely. The Giants are a lot of people.
We're underdogs, but
yeah, a lot of people think the Giants are kind of like a pig with putting lipstick on a pig in terms of like they're not as good as their record indicates. Like a lot of the DVOA and analytics say the Giants are not a great team. They looked not great against the Texans and a lot of other. They keep escaping. I mean, good teams win, but
Oh my God. It's so funny too, the way we dodged the bullet at not signing Kenny Galladay, because he's been such a disaster there. He had two balls thrown to him this last week, then they benched him the rest of the game and he dropped one of them. And it's like, he's just hated by New York fans. It's like crazy.
Yeah, he dropped it and the whole crowd was booing immediately. and the Lions got a third round pick for it. I believe it was Iffy was our third round pick that we got for him. So maybe it's a wash in that regard. But
he's a good St. Rita guy and he's got a lot of money and hopefully he'll donate it back to the school. So
there you go, bro.
DeAndre Swift, are we worried about him? He does not look
worried
good.
About his health. He looks good when he gets the ball. He had a great run in this game.
But
he doesn't get to play enough.
So
but he's fast. Not everybody.
Look,
can
I mean,
do
look
that.
At the other one, the one where he tried leaping in from the 1 yard line. That just was. It looks sad a little bit to me.
Oh, that
the
play,
on
yeah,
that
but
because like a fully healthy Swift, I feel gets in the end zone there, and that one he just looked like he just didn't have enough juice that we normally see out of him on those type of plays in the past. Like normally Swift on the edge one-on-one, yeah. Like he's winning that. And then in that case, the guy came up from behind, caught him. And
that happens on a play. I disagree. Well, UJ, you could react to this after I talk, but I don't think Swift dogs any plays. And I think he plays.
I'm not saying
well.
He dog I mean, in it, but
he got beat on that play, but you said he looked beaten or something.
That isn't
I think he plays really
him.
Well. I just like to see him out there more and hopefully he can get more snaps.
Yeah. But the Lions don't want to put him out there. They only gave him six carries in this game.
I know they're trying to manage.
And Williams looks better when in the running game right now.
All right, UJ, what is your take on this?
He does. No, obviously he's not all there, so they're using him sparingly. But you know when they do, he makes a couple of big plays. He contributes until he's fully healthy. I have no problem with what they're doing right now. I mean, for the long term, I don't know. We need someone who can be on the field all the time. But right now, I have no problem.
But the confusing part too is that he had no injury designation this week on the injury report, which indicates that he's fully healthy. So I'm not sure what's going on. It's confusing.
Well, he was upset last week that they didn't give more touches. So it's not him, you know, like he wants to be out there. So their coaches are trying to manage him.
He had one. Yeah. I mean, he had one carry for 9 yards and a touchdown, but then five for -3 the other five.
Yeah.
What? Like even Justin Jackson looks like a better runner right now. He does not look like the same Swift. So I'm concerned.
Obviously he doesn't.
Concerned about him getting healthy, but I say he's a better player than Justin Jackson. I mean, maybe not in this game, but come on.
Well, Swift a fully healthy elite. Swift, but this version of Swift in the running game at least doesn't look good to me.
Yeah. It's hard to argue with you, G. But as far as what you do with him, that's another question. I don't know what the coaches are thinking right now. He's obviously not fully there. So what do you do? You use him a little bit when you can. He was a distraction on a couple of plays. I know that. They keyed on him on a couple of plays.
That's fair.
And, I mean, it's good for something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I hope the Lions can bring back Williams.
I don't know.
Because he looks great.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
As long as he's not fumbled on the 1 yard line. But
it just seems like Swift is not going to be that bell cow guy, you know? He's not going to be out there carrying the ball 20 times a game. But if he can get healthier, he's definitely a threat out there on any play.
I completely agree with that. And Kabinda was back. He only got in, like, I believe 14 plays in this game, but it was good to see him out there. Hopefully he works his way in more as we go. Trying to think if I'm missing anything I wanted to cover. I think that was it largely. Is there anything you guys want to hit on I didn't hit on about this game?
I think my key to the game was the way the defense listened to coaching in this game. Aside from the two big runs, okay, Fields had 114 yards on two runs, and they had, what, like 30 yards on the rest of his runs. So they basically bottled him up except for two long runs. And you could see the way the rush was, man. These guys were not over-rushing. Every time they sensed they were going to over-rush, they backed off. And they, you know, you could see it. They were mentally just doing how they were coached. And it worked, and it paid off in the end of the game. And I think it was a well-coached game and a good game plan. So I was impressed with that. And that the players executed it pretty well, too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is just going to help them, you know. Like you said, any win is tough to get in the NFL, and they've got two in a row now. I think the defense is feeling better about themselves right now. And if the offense, you know, if we can get, if we can sneak out a couple more wins here and get Jameson Williams back, and then I don't know how hurt Josh Reynolds is, but if he can come back, get a more full complement on offense, we're going to be a tough team.
Yeah.
For sure. If you're wondering where the Lions stand in the playoff hunt, well, right now, it's not over. There's nine games left.
On the graphic on an ESPN in the hunt.
Yes. That's all I can ask for. So remember, seven teams make the playoffs. The 49ers won yesterday, kind of late, close one against the Chargers. So they moved to 5-4. They are the seventh seed right now. Then right behind them is the Commanders, who are playing right now and beating the Eagles. At halftime, 20-14, a team that the Lions beat. So if they move to 5-5, then they would be in eighth. If not, they move to 4-6. And then the Packers also 4-6. Atlanta and Arizona also 4-6. And then the Lions right behind them at 3-6, along with the Rams, who I mentioned. The Lions actually have the lower draft pick between the two. So keep on losing, Rams. Keep on losing.
And Cooper Kupp has an ankle injury, and Stafford was out this week. Hopefully they'll rest Stafford for a while.
Yeah, a lot of people think Stafford might retire after this season. Because his wife doesn't want him, especially with him having another concussion, all his injury history. He's won a Super Bowl now. That was like the big thing that they want to make the move for. Some look out there.
Carpetbagger. Yeah.
Oh, and another note, just on the Lions, did you see Aubrey Pleasant as a coach on the Packers now? Offensive coach, I think.
Where he got his start in the NFL. He was an offensive coach first.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I'm happy for him that he's working again.
That is going to reveal all the secrets the next time we play the Packers, though. All our secrets.
Of course he will.
All the secrets of our defensive backs. The mystery. How to unlock them.
Well, luckily, they were no good when Pleasant was there, so what's he going to tell them?
Yeah, I don't know. They weren't doing this when I was there. I don't know what they're doing.
It's crazy how many teams in the NFL right now. There's nine with three wins, another five with four wins. It's very top-heavy at the moment with all these records. But I think a team like Seattle could fall. We mentioned the Giants, who are somehow 7-2. They could easily lose the next seven, honestly, with that team. I don't know if they will, but very, very possible. So the Lions aren't out yet, but obviously they got an uphill battle to climb. But, you know, never discount them. Hopefully week by week.
Never.
Because the Lions have the Giants and then the Bills on Thanksgiving, the Bills team that is struggling right now.
Hey, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? No.
True. Yeah.
For all you youngsters out there, that's from Animal House, the movie, John Belushi. And to my chagrin, I've talked to some young people recently who've never seen that movie.
That's required viewing, I think.
Yeah.
Does that anyway. Just mean you're getting old, UJ?
I digress. Oh, yeah, I'm getting old. Of course I'm getting old. I'm not denying that.
I've seen it, though.
If you live long enough, that sort of happens to you.
Yeah. That's why UJ's so wise.
Yeah. I was in college when that movie came out, so it was very special to me.
Did that come out when you were in college? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So you might have had a few toga parties at school back in the day.
Oh, we did. We did. Trust me.
That's awesome.
Did you guys, just really quick, did you guys see the Colts hiring their new head coach, Jeff Saturday? A guy that had no coaching experience whatsoever at college or the NFL level, and then gets hired to be head coach of an NFL team. What do you guys think about that? Are you thumbs up, thumbs down?
He won.
Because a lot of the coaches and executives of the NFL were really upset about the hiring. This is something that came directly from Jim Irsay, despite objections from his entire executive staff, like the general manager and team president. Just curious your thoughts. Because Bill Cowher went on TV and said, like, this is a disgrace to the entire coaching profession, that a guy can just be sitting on TV and then next thing be a head coach.
It's his team. He can do what he wants.
Yeah.
It is, no, seriously, because Jeff Saturday
was he's a legend for that team. Won Super Bowls there. He's a great player. He's well respected in the industry. Yeah, it was unexpected, sure, but so what? It's his team. Do what he wants, and he won.
He did.
What are you knocking?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. If I were a coach on that staff, I would have been pissed on that staff if they like elevated a TV analyst over me. You know, if I'd been working on that team all. I don't know.
Yeah, because they have John Fox and Gus Bradley on that coaching staff, too.
Yeah.
John Fox has won a Super Bowl, or he didn't win a Super Bowl. No, he just went to the Super Bowl. Or did he win a Super Bowl? I need to look that up. I know he's the coach of the Panthers, and they lost.
I don't know if he won a Super Bowl.
Or did they win the Super Bowl? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't know. But,
well, do you have a problem with it, Z?
It is very bizarre.
That's just like
I know someone going up through a coaching rank, so I would maybe side with the coaches on that one a little bit because it's like it makes you question like is it worth all the dirt and the grind if you just can get hired from sending the TV rather than grind your way up.
Well, then you know what you just go ahead and question it.
I mean, it's nothing we could do. There you go. It's done.
Yeah,
question it. Yeah.
Just opinion.
It's like a rich guy walks into the car dealer, buys a Maserati, and the poor guy sees him driving.
Well, hey, Bill Cowher's saying, like, you...
I can't have it. It's his team.
In the offseason, they should make it a rule, like, you have to have some coaching experience in the NFL to... or college or the NFL to be hired as an NFL head coach going forward.
Yeah, let's make another fucking rule. That's what we need, more rules. Bullshit.
He's very passionate about
this guy's
this
team.
Yeah,
alone.
Wow.
Well, yeah, man. I'm tired of people telling other people what they should do with their money. And it's his money. It's his team. Let him do what the hell he wants. So big deal. He's an interim coach anyway. He's not necessarily a full-time coach yet. So what's the big deal?
I'm serious. So these guys are making no limits. Like you just hire like a circus clown or something to do it or whatever.
Sure. Why not? I mean, the fans won't like it. That's all for right. Damn sure. But you know, again, it's his team.
Huh. All right. Well, there you have it. All right. I was curious about that. So that actually was great podcasting material. Thank you.
Well, I believe that, really. I mean, in this world today, there's just too much of that shit going on. So it just, that kind of stuff pisses me off.
All right.
So, there, all right. I said it.
All right. There you have it.
All right.
I think we've reached the end of the podcast now. So.
Wait, I have more to say about that. No, I'm just kidding.
We want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you.
Get off my lawn.
Want to thank SidelionReport.com for hosting the podcast. Go check out the articles from Brad Berryman and the team on the SidelionReport.com. Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. Thank you to our producer,
Kid J
producing the podcast. He always crushes it. So thank you to him. Thank you to our Lady Lions. We put our segments on here every once in a while. And who am I missing? I'm missing something. Instagram. At Drinking a Boo Kool-Aid. Yeah. Twitter. At Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about the Lions. I want to hear everybody's thoughts about the Lions playoff chances. Are we just drinking too much Kool-Aid on this podcast? Probably. But to no avail.
Well, I'm sure Red Dog has something to say about that.
Yeah.
thank you. And of course, thank you to our listeners. We always greatly appreciate you.
Yes.
The most. So we'll be back later this week talking about the upcoming game in New York, which is not actually in New York. It's in New Jersey, technically, at the Meadowlands. But they are playing the New York Giants.
They lied.
And we'll be looking forward to that. So Lions can continue their winning streak. They got a winning streak of two. Let's go for three.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Stack them and rack them,
all right.
Baby.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go.
Lions.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.